Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy there, folks. Hope today finds you doing well. And if you are a guest and want to call in on the program, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter. But once again, pay attention, beware of the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. Now, what is the curse of the fruit bat? Well, it's when it's a very likely result if you come in here with excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, gaslighting, disrupting the show, you know, trolling and all that kind of stuff. You know, if you want to involve yourself in those kinds of activities, I will assure you, you will have a very short time on this program. Now, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree. I really don't care about it. But come on here and be respectful. And, you know, it seems like people don't understand what respect is. You know, they want respect, but they don't want to give it out, you know. But you need to search yourself and learn to be respectful when you come on this program. Okay. So, like I said, I don't care if you agree with me, disagree with me, that's fine. We're not going to agree on every point. But don't come here being disrespectful, okay? So, well, folks, it has been 3 weeks since I've done a show. Blog Talk Radio has been misbehaving, which is the reason why I haven't had a show in the past couple of weeks. I wanted to do this very program, this special program today. I wanted to do this 2 weeks ago, and Blog Talk Radio was messing up. I would schedule a show for this time, which is 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it would say your show is scheduled for 7 p.m. And I'd be like, well, I didn't schedule my show for that, you know. And I got messages from other people. They said that, you know, they did a show, but it didn't record. to the archives and whatever. And, you know, I was getting ready for the show today because I really wanted, I wanted to get this show done today. I wanted to get this, you know, this subject matter done with today. And it did the same thing. I said, wait a minute. I know I scheduled a show for 5 o'clock. And it said it's scheduled for 7. So I went to, you know, the live feeds that Blog Talk Radio has. You know, you click on the live button and it shows you all the live shows and chat rooms open. I was like, okay, well, you know, I guess everything is running properly, you know, but why is my show still being scheduled at 7? And see, the last 2 weeks when I would check, you know, who had a chat open, it would say there are no chats open at this time, which was strange because, you know, you're at prime time and, you know, usually you have one or two people with their chat room open. So I said, well, let me go ahead and reschedule the show. At first I was going to say, well, let me just go ahead and do it at 7 then, you know, bump that, you know. But then I realized when I scheduled it for 7, it said it was for 9 o'clock. I said, wait a minute. Now, that's weird. So I went back into, you know, my page to, you know, my episode page, and I altered the time for 3 o'clock. And lo and behold, it put my show at 5 o'clock. I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk. I hope they get that problem resolved. In the future, I'm still going to have me a Blog Talk Radio program. But I'm thinking about doing a podcast, and I'm about to branch off in a podcast on Spreaker called True Sharks Radio. And that should be starting, I'd say, within the next couple of weeks or whatever. I tried to start True Sharks last year, and things just fell through. I messed the whole thing up. It was totally my fault. And I really want to go into that podcasting. But I'm not getting rid of my show here on Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio has been good to me. I've heard people say, the sound quality is bad and everything, yada, yada, yada. Hey, look, I ain't got no problem with that. As long as I have a voice somewhere and Blog Talk doesn't keep on messing up, hey, I'm going to be here. But anyway, I wanted to start this show off with a Bible verse. I'm a Christian man. I believe in the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been walking this way since 1986, 5 days after I turned 18 years old. And I'm not one of those that take the word Christian lightly. You know, a lot of people, they call themselves Christian, but when you see their lifestyle, you're like, that person is not a Christian, you know. I don't take it lightly. That's why you don't hear me cuss on this show or just go off on somebody, you know, something like that. But let me go to the scriptures. And the first scripture I want to open up is Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Now, this is a scripture people use to beat people over the head when they point out what somebody is doing wrong. And that scripture is, judge not that ye be not judged. People leave it right there. And they say, well, you shouldn't be judging anybody. Don't be judging. Don't be judging. But they fail to take into account the other verses after that opening verse. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why behold you the mote that is in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote out of your eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. When Matthew 7, chapter 7 and chapter 7 verses 1. What? Let me get my words straight. What Matthew chapter 7 verses 1 through 5 is talking about is hypocrisy. It's not saying you can't point out what somebody is doing wrong. People love to use that scripture. People who don't read the Bible, they love to use that scripture to beat over people's heads because, you know, they don't want anyone telling them what they're doing wrong. It's talking about hypocrisy. Now, let me go to Proverbs, the 10th chapter and the 18th verse. It reads, "He that hides hatred with lying lips and he that utters a slander is a fool." Okay? Now, in the book of Matthew, the 23rd chapter and the 24th verse, it talks about, Jesus is upbraiding the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious people of his day, and he calls them blind guides who strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. So what does that mean? It means the Pharisees were very careful about some little things, while bigger and more important things were ignored, such as mercy, faith, and the spirit of the law. So having read those scriptures and giving you my opening montage, let me go into my subject. And my subject today is the anatomy of a fruit bat. The anatomy of a fruit bat. Now, for years I've been doing this show. I don't know how long I've been using the term fruit bat. Now, folks, when I say fruit bat, don't get it mixed up, you know, with a regular fruit bat. You know, your literal fruit bats are one of my favorite animals. You know, the flying foxes in Australia. You know, you got fruit bats, in other countries as well. You know, and of course they call fruit bats because they eat fruit. So don't get it mixed up with that. You might see it as an insult to actual fruit bats, and it might be that's not the intention, but I just adopted that term, and I've been using that term for more than a decade. And you might be wondering what a fruit bat is. Now, you all heard my opening statements about the curse of the fruit bat. And I tell people, don't come on this show with excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, all them type of insults, you know, gaslighting, trolling. People like that are what I call a fruit bat. Now, a fruit bat is not a person who simply disagrees with me. If you sharply disagree with me about my point of view, I don't view you as a fruit bat. The reason why I would call someone a fruit bat is because they are very, very disrespectful. Now, what is respect? Respect is treating others how you would like to be treated yourself. And respect is something that is usually earned. If you don't show people respect, don't expect anyone to show it back to you. And basically, fruit bats are these disruptive, disrespectful people who only want to hear their point of view take center stage. They're disruptive. They come on and they talk over you. They call you all kinds of insults and everything. And they think they're making a point by doing so. And I I got a list of some characteristics of how you know you're dealing with a fruit bat. First point, they're shallow. They're lacking depth. They're superficial. It's like, you know, they have no deep meaning to their words. They just fly off at the handle. They go by their feelings. They always wear their emotions on their shoulders. Then you have the hypocritical. Pretense of having virtues, beliefs, principles, etc. that one does not possess. I'll give you an example. If you're a person who is always telling people, don't you be smoking, don't you be smoking, smoking kills, but you smoke yourself and you have no conviction about that, then that makes you a hypocrite. You're telling people what they need to be doing, but you're not doing it yourself. That's a hypocrite. Then self-righteousness. Confident in one's own righteousness, especially when smugly moralistic and intolerant of the opinions and the behavior of others. You think you're right about everything. Just because you hear yourself speak it, you believe it just right off the bat. You don't want to hear another person's point of view. Because you think you got it all. You think you know everything. They like to use character assassinations and ad hominems to make a point. Because once again, they're so self-righteous. When they use those character assassinations and ad hominems, you know, they think they're really doing a good thing. They really think they're making a point. They are willfully ignorant, or as we say down here in the South, ignorant. They are willfully ignorant. In other words, they involve themselves in what you would call cognitive dissonance. And cognitive dissonance is when you can show someone the truth. Well, this is an aspect of cognitive dissonance. When you can show someone the truth, but they still want to follow the lie. When you explain yourself to somebody, but they still want to believe what their initial thought was about you. They love to lie. They love to lie. And usually they're lying. It goes into my next point. It's a diverting tactic. They want to point out what you're doing. And this can go back to the hypocritical point too. They always want to point out what you're doing wrong, but they never look at themselves. They want to divert it to someone else because they want the attention off of themselves. Because deep down, maybe, I don't know, if they have all their brain cells, they actually realize that what they're doing is wrong, but their pride kicks in. And they're like, you know what? You know, hey, I want to get the attention off of myself. So I'll point out what somebody else is doing. And 9 times out of 10, when they point out what someone else is doing, they are more guilty of what they're pointing out than the object of their derision. And that lines in with hypocrisy right there. They are sensitive and thin-skinned. Now, this is another one. This is one that this is a term they love to use on people who don't agree with them. But they are sensitive and thin-skinned themselves. They feel like, hey, this person doesn't think like me. And they take that personal. They take it like an insult because you disagree with their point of view. They take it like you just insulted them, like you talked about their mama or something. They are very, very illogical. They use no logic when they criticize others. And being illogical means you have a lack of correct or reliable inference. Coming to a conclusion or a judgment without premise or evidence. You just speak off the cuff. Fly off at the handle. And like I said, they like to stray from the main course of topic, which is diverting. They like to stray off that course. They don't want to stay on the subject at hand. They want to change the subject. They're unscrupulous. They unscrupulously control people or a situation. That means they lack morals. It's a lack of moral in their control of a person or a situation. They lack sense or clear, sound reasoning. That goes along the lines of being illogical. Now, those are the characteristics of a fruit bat. If you know someone that displays these characteristics, you are dealing with what I call a fruit bat. Character assassination, a slandering attack, especially one intended to damage the reputation of a public or political figure. And really, when they do that, they don't use logic. They just want to attack you instead of attacking the message. They use ad hominem attacks. Now, what's an ad hominem? It's attacking an opponent's character or motives rather than answering the argument or claim, or appealing to one's prejudices, emotions, interests, rather than to one's intellect or reason. That's a fruit bat. That's a straight up fruit bat. Now, I want to talk about one particular fruit bat that has been on my program, and I've been on his. And a couple of weeks ago, I was going through, I think I was about to schedule a show, and in my search engine, popped up Blog Talk Radio and said, New Orleans, wake up. And the person I'm talking about is the host of New Orleans Wake Up. His name is Warren. And I don't know what his last name is. I really don't care to know what his last name is. But he comes on this show and he starts insulting some of my guests. And you all know two of my guests that really stand out on this program. That's Pianki and Sarge. He comes up here talking about, oh, y'all listen to Fox News. And, he comes. Now, here's the thing. I didn't even know this guy existed. He came on my show. He came on my show. And he started disrespecting people on this program. So he invites me to come on his program. And I said, sure. I said, sure. Okay. Now, I knew what to expect when I came on his program, because I've met people like Warren for decades. I know what to expect when I knew that talking to him would be like talking to a soggy piece of bread. Now, if you're a soggy piece of bread, I want to apologize for insulting you that way. But I've talked with people like Warren before. I mean, this goes back to the 90s, the 80s and the 90s. And it just lets you know that I've had this point of view for a very long time. So when people come up and they start saying, oh, you just get your news from Fox News. No, I had this point of view long before Fox News came into play. So you can't use that argument against me. So I go on this program. We do our thing. And I talk, boom, 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 He still didn't agree with me. And I was like, okay, well, we'll just agree to disagree. So the next week, I decided to pull up his program. See, now let me show you the amount of manipulation this dude has. I get on his program and he says, okay, I'm going to treat you with respect. And he did. Don't get me wrong. He did. But the next week, he did a follow-up program to the program that I was on. And that's when he started using a new term, black conservative comfort dogs for white conservatives. And he gets up there and he's bragging like, yeah, I'm the first one come up with this thing. And, you know, and he even mentioned my show by name. He said these black by color only comfort dogs for white conservatives. And when he was on my show, and I probably need to make this clear, I am not your dyed-in-the-wool conservative. I tell people I am a Christian who leans conservative. A lot of the points and subjects that conservatives agree with, I happen to agree with too. And I don't consider myself a political person. I just want to be about the truth. That's all I care about is the truth. Being a Christian man, I care more about the truth than I do about a political position. Now, if you don't agree with me being a Christian or anything, well, then, hey, I'm sorry for you. That's your problem, not mine. And so he calls me, black people like me, and other black folks, black conservatives, call them black comfort dogs for white conservatives. And he made these statements about me. And so I came on the when I did my show, he came on, but I didn't let him on because I had to get out what I had to say. And I even made some recordings of what he said on his program. He goes back to his program and he says that I disrespected him, that I slandered him, that I stabbed him in the back. Once again, using a diversionary tactic, diverting from himself, the very thing that he did to me. He tried to say that I did it to him. That's how they do. That's how they operate. That's their modus operandi. And they come on and they'll insult you, hurl character assassinations at you. And then when someone does the same or someone calls them out on their garbage, they want to say, oh, they're attacking me. That's exactly what Warren is doing. They're attacking. Oh, I didn't do anything wrong. Self-righteous. Hypocritical, diversionary, illogical. So this couple of weeks ago, I just happened to pull up his show and I saw this show said, I forgot the title of it. I don't have it with me right now. It was like, you know, slavery wasn't good for black people. You know, they're trying to harp on that thing about Ron DeSantis in Florida saying that slavery was a benefit to black people, and Ron DeSantis did not say that. Basically, what Ron DeSantis was saying was when slavery ended, the slaves took the skills that they learned while they were slaves and used it as a benefit to themselves. That's what he was saying. But I hadn't integrated with him directly since I came on his program. I think it was in December. But here he was. This was July the 29th. He gets on his show and he starts talking about me, Sarge, and Pianki. And not only that, he started talking about Robert Garding. This is the guy who heads up CNM Radio. And he talked about Rob Garding, you know, saying some racist stuff and chuckling at him and everything. Oh, he's chuckling at me. And so he leaves a link to my July 29th program and Rob Garding's July 29th program. And he said, hey, y'all, here you go. You can listen to these shows and you can hear all the racism that they're just spewing out. Now, I know I didn't say anything racist. And I went to Rob Garding's show and I listened to his show. I was like, I don't see where he said anything racist. Matter of fact, what I saw was how rude Warren was, because Rob Garding and, you know, his guests, they were talking about one subject. They let him on, and he tries to totally change the subject. And then it got to the point where Robert had to kick him off of his program. Now, see, Warren doesn't like that. He doesn't like that because he doesn't think he's being disrespectful, which he is. But he doesn't like that. And so he makes some accusations. I'm going to play these for you. And Warren, if you're listening, these are your words. Nobody is manipulating your words. I'm giving it to people straight up. What you said on your program after Rob Garding kicked you off. Let's go.
The first person is Vince. Is a person who has a show on Conservative Nation Radio. So in other words, it's Robert's account, I think from what I understand, is Robert's account, and then Vince has a show. Vince's show is called Black by Color Only. Now, I've had Vince as a guest on my show. Okay, I had him on my show, treated him kindly, politely, with respect, and then he goes on his show, and then he stabs me in the back. And
I didn't stab him in the back. He stabbed me in the back. Now, Warren, if you're listening, why don't you put up a to the show you did after I came on your show and tell me who stabbed who in the back? But let's go on.
Smears me, etc. So let's look at Vince's show, Black by Color Only. Vince's shtick is that he's just black in color. So therefore, he doesn't identify with the masses of black people. He identifies with white people who consider themselves conservatives. And
I have never said that. You see how he's trying to twist everything? I never said, oh, I identify with white people who consider themselves conservative. I never said that. Let's go on.
So all he does on his show, I think, broadcast. People to denigrate, to defame, to smear the name of African American people. That's what he does on his show.
I do not defame or denigrate black people on this show. The only people who have to worry about what I say on this show are those who are caught in their dirt. If you're about the truth, you don't have to worry about me. You don't have to worry about me at all. And he says, all I do is smear and denigrate black people on my show. I don't do that. But see, he doesn't bring up a clip where I do that. He doesn't do it at all. And he even asked me one time, he said, well, why do you only talk about black people on your show? Why you only talk? Well, first of all, it's my show. I can do whatever I want to. Second of all, and I explained this to him, I do this because I am a black person. I'm part of a group. I'm part of what they call a minority. I don't even like that word minority, but I'm part of black. I'm part of mainstream black America. What I don't like, see, there's a scripture in the Bible that says judgment must begin first in the house of God. Now, even though that's talking about, you know, in the church, I do believe that's a principle we can all apply and say, I'm going to judge myself before I judge somebody else. Because basically what we see today is a lot of people pointing out the so-called sins of the white man, but we never look at ourselves and say, well, what are we doing? Where are we screwing up? That's why I talk more about black folks than I do white folks. It has nothing to do with me hating my race. It has nothing to do with me hating being black. I've been accused of that. Basically, what I'm saying is two wrongs don't make a right. Now, one time there were white people in this country, not all white people, probably not even a majority of them, who did look down on black people because of their skin color. But what I am seeing now is we're trying to do the same thing to the white folks. Basically, what black folks are saying is, okay, well, you all hated us, so we're going to hate you back. That's basically what they're saying. And basically what I'm saying is don't fall for that trap, you all. Don't go that same route because you're doing the same thing that racist white people did to us once upon a time. That's why I am so critical of black folks. It's just like in my everyday life. If I see something going wrong in my life, who do I look at first? I look at myself first and say, how did I contribute to this situation? But apparently people like Warren think black people don't do anything bad. And so anything you say that's negative against black people, that means you don't like your race. But let me continue.
And when you listen to the link that I put in the chat room, that will be verified, okay?
It ain't going to be verified, Warren. It's not going to be verified because you're not going to hear me denigrating black people. I point out the wrongs that black people do in an effort to show them their sins, basically, so that they can smearing anybody. Let's go on.
That you all could hear. And then you can follow these links and listen to previous shows that they've done. But these two shows, the issue of the Florida Black History curriculum came up. And so
So, you know, he's talking about the Florida curriculum. And I explained that on the show on I explained that on the show on July 29th. And you can check that show out and, you know, tell me, you know. And I'm not one who is closed to critique. If I said anything off the cuff or anything like that, you know, you can always come and say, hey, Vince, you are off the way. Let me show you here. But he's not doing that. What he's doing is a character assassination. He's smearing me. He's lying. L-Y-I-N-G, bold print, underlined, exclamation point. Let me go on.
Their position, if you can hear, is basically defending the Florida Black History curriculum that even some black conservatives who are now being vocal against. So Vince is, from my interaction with him, is the weakest sidekick. He doesn't appear to be, in my opinion, articulate about anything. He allows other sidekicks to come onto his show, take over the show and dominate, and then he looks up to them as if those sidekicks are experts on anything. In my view, in my opinion, I suspect Vince could be special needs. And I'm not one to go into make fun of and ridicule those with special needs. So
That's what you're doing, though, Warren. Let me explain something to you. I work at a job 40 hours a week. Job is to prepare computer parts for the UNC hospital system. I get a list put those things together, wrap up the pallet and everything, and I have it sent out to be shipped. Every morning, I get up. The alarm clock wakes me up. I go in, get my clothes on. I actually clothe myself. I actually put my clothes on. Nobody helps me put my clothes on. Most of the time, I have my clothes set out the previous night. I get up, brush my teeth, go read my Bible. My wife gets ready. I take her to work, and then I go to work by myself. When the work day is over, I get into my SUV, and I drive back home by myself. So basically, what he's saying, basically, it's an insult. It's a character assassination when he says, I think Benson has special needs. I have been on my own since I was 19 years old. 1988, I was 19 and a half years old. Been on my own since then. Nobody said, Benson, you need to go out on your own. I did it myself. Matter of fact, I come from Washington, D.C. That's where I lived previously before I came here to Durham. And the day I was supposed to go back to D.C., I decided that I'm going to stay in Durham. I said, I'm staying here in Durham. I was 19 years old, and I've been on my own ever since. So I don't know where he gets his idea that I'm special needs. But let's go on.
I'm not going to do that. The other sidekick that you'll hear on both of these episodes is a guy who refers to himself as Sarge. Sarge and I have had some very heated debates and exchanges. Sarge is a pseudo-intellectual. He prides himself on having a collection of over...
Sarge is not a pseudo-intellectual. You can confirm anything that Sarge says with a computer and an internet connection. Sarge is not a pseudo-intellectual. And he says, well, he gets these people on here and he looks up to them. Well, you doggone straight. Folks, let me tell you all something. Let me tell you something. I am not on this show just so you can hear me talk. Yes, I want you to learn from me. This is not a one-way deal. And yes, I do let Sarge and Pianchi on this program because to me, I consider them elders. And like I said before, you know, he tried to twist my words around. I said, I am not a history buff. I do know history, but I'm not what you would call, just to be honest with you. But there are people who know a lot more about history than I do. Now, I do make my effort to put in time to research and study certain articles or certain times in history so I can make it available to you on this program. But Sarge and Pianchi, they've been around the block a few more times than I have. And that's why when they come on this show, I let them go for it. But let me continue.
Many times in our interactions, Sarge, to avoid serious discussion, he yells, he screams, he begins to curse and use all type of horrible profanity on these people's shows. They do.
Now, I don't know what Sarge does on anybody else's show, but I know that on my show, I don't permit the cussing. Sarge is very vocal. I don't think Sarge needs a microphone, to be honest with you. He's very vocal. Yes, he's going to talk loud. That's just Sarge. But when he talks, he has a thought process before he speaks. And yes, Sarge can be, you know, it's hard to get an edge word, a word in edgewise when Sarge talks and everything. Sometimes you have to say, hey, Sarge. But he knows what he is talking about.
At all. In fact, many times when Sarge is talking, it's not even a show for kids to listen to. Maybe this episode may not be for kids to listen to. Who knows where my thought process in describing these guys may go?
I don't think you have a thought process, to be honest with you. I think you just let them words that are forming in your head fall through that hole in your brain and into your tongue, because I don't think you have a thought process.
Let me come out of my vocabulary bank in my head. Sarge claims he is a Vietnam vet. I don't know. I don't have any proof. I've never seen anything. I don't believe it. Okay.
Doesn't matter if you believe it or not. On the 4th, the 3rd of July, I believe it was, he came on my show, Sarge, that is. He came on my show, and he said, Vincent, I want your permission to remember these men that I fought, you know, in Vietnam with. And I said, sure. And he listed all these names of people that he – now, I find it very hard to think that Sarge made those names up. I really do. I really do. Now, yeah, I don't know Sarge. I never met him face-to-face or anything. But I find it very hard to think that Sarge just made that up on the cuff like that. But let's continue.
He sounds like one of these individuals who are fascinated with this white masculine cowboy culture, where there's an obsession with guns. And I remember on one show, he began to talk about going down to Texas near the border with a friend, where a friend lives on this big ranch, and he was going to confront the illegals crossing over. And then he began to describe dead bodies he saw and women being raped or something. I don't know if he was saying he committed those crimes and participated in them or what, but I know those were some of the things that came out of his mouth. He's like a kid, in my view, who's fascinated with cowboy and Indian movies, and he wants to be the cowboy. That is, he wants to be the white guy that kills the non-white person. You see, on Blog Talk...
Character assassinations. That's what that is. I've never heard of Sarge being obsessed with guns or anything like that. And the story he told about him going to the border and everything, I don't know what the details are in that one. That's not what I'm going to argue with. But Sarge has never acted like he was obsessed with guns on my show, you know. And for him to say that Sarge wants to be the white cowboy that kills the non-white Native Americans, you know, whatever he was saying, I think that is a character assassination, and I think it's very disingenuous. But let me continue.
A lot of these guys have alter egos. They live out a fantasy that they've always wanted to be something, and they live it out on the Blog Talk station. Another thing about the Sarge guy is Sarge talks about how he used to belong to some black nationalist or black radical groups. I don't know if he mentioned the 5%ers or what, but his point is that he disavowed those beliefs. So he's gone from, let's say, one extreme, let's say, to another. So now his beliefs, he's adopted racist nationalistic thinking is what his belief is. And Sarge brags about the fact that he's proud that his folks were slaves because he benefited from slavery. That's what he said. You're been a slave. I also heard, I've been in conversation with him where he admires the Klan, where he doesn't see anything wrong with the Ku Klux Klan. Now, this is a black guy talking, all right?
I never heard Sarge say there was nothing wrong with the Ku Klux Klan. I never heard that. And he tried to say, these are black guys talking. I never said it was, I never approved of the Klan. Matter of fact, on occasion, I've said the Klan is a bunch of racist white bigots. I've never approved of the Klan. I may have compared black groups with the Klan, like Black Lives Matter and the new Black Panther Party. and people like that, and people get mad. Oh, well, how many people did they kill? How many people did they kill? It doesn't matter how many people you kill. If you're a racist and you want to hang out with other like racists, you're just as bad as any other racist group. It doesn't matter about your body count. But anyway, let me go on.
And the third sidekick, to me, is probably even more dishonest than the first two sidekicks. He goes by the name of Pianki, and you'll come across Pianki on several of these blog talk shows that are considered quote-unquote conservative. And what Pianki does, he embeds himself in these programs. He doesn't have his own show. He doesn't have his own program. Neither do Sarge. At least Vince has something.
Do they need their own program? I have no problem with them not having their own program. As long as I know what their point of view is, I have no problem with it. If my program can be a channel for them to speak what they need to speak, then I'll leave it open. I've got no problem with that. So, you know, he's over here moaning about, you know, oh, they at least Vincent got his own program. Well, I guess that's big of you, Warren. But anyway, let me go on.
But Sarge and Pianki don't have their own shows because from my perspective, in my view, in my opinion, they're not capable of conducting the show. So what Pianki does, he invents.
So your opinion and your view is the only one that matters? Your view and your opinion is the only one that matters, Warren? Come on now.
He invents himself on somebody's show, and then he even tries to dictate to the host who they should let on. Particularly if it's me, I'm referring to me, to dictate to them if I should be muted or whatever.
I have no problem with that because you can be very disrespectful, Warren. You can be very disrespectful. And really, be honest with you, I don't need Pianki or anyone telling me who to kick off or keep on my show or whatever. Because I'll do it myself. I've done it before I knew there was a Pianki or a Sarge. Let me go on.
One thing, because I've had run-ins with Pianki. One thing this Pianki guy knows, he knows he cannot push the bullshit with Brother Warren. So when I go into a forum where he is, he hauls ass. And it's good for him that he does haul ass.
Yeah, and now he talks about Sarge doing the cussing, listening to him. And when Warren has been on my program and Pianki is there, Pianki never ran from him. So I don't know what he's talking about there. Maybe Pianki's run from other shows, but he hasn't run from mine. So let me go on.
I believe he's a fraud. Now, let's look at his name. He has an African name, Pianki. I highly suspect he was not born with that name. Like many African Americans in the 60s and 70s, they begin to change their names to reflect some sort of pride and a name connected to Africa. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But I find it very strange that someone who has an African name criticizes African Americans' relationship with Africa, attempts to foster divisions between continental Africans and African Americans. He denigrates black people constantly, makes up stories that are not true at all. You'll hear that yourself in the first case.
How do you know he makes up stories? How do you know that? You have no proof. You have no... Just because I'm black doesn't mean I got to think like all the other blacks do myself. That's why I call this show Black by Color Only. I'm not going to think like you. I'm an individual. I can find my own truth. Or I don't find my own truth. There's no such thing as my own truth. But I can find the truth out for myself. I don't need to think like you. And see, this is the problem with people like Warren. They feel threatened because someone doesn't think like they do. They have stayed on the plantation. And they want you to join them on the plantation. They want you to keep them company on the plantation. I don't want to stay on the plantation. I don't want to stay on the plantation. My days on the plantation are over. I can think for myself. I have a very sound mind. If I didn't, I wouldn't have this radio program. But he gets up here and he starts insulting people and saying, well, in my point of view, and your point of view don't matter. Point of view does not matter, Warren. Let's continue.
And I have been, in the first clip is Vince's show where all three of these I call them the Three Stooges, where all three of the Three Stooges are on there just spewing hatred against the African-American people.
The Three Stooges, I like that one. I think the Three Stooges are pretty funny. But he's saying we spew hatred against the African-American community. Warren, if you're listening to this show, show me where we spew hatred against African-American people. Show it to me, dude. Pretend I'm from Missouri and show me. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't have any clips or anything, but you think you know what's going on with us. And you don't know jack squat diddly. You don't know a ripped pair of jeans. What we're about. But let me go on.
With lies and perpetuating stereotypes. Very shameful stuff for Robert to allow this on his show. But the reason why Robert allowed this on his show, because Robert believed this stuff himself. And these black guys doing it kind of helps him and takes the pressure off him from having to do it himself. These are his emotional support dogs.
See, there he goes.
Okay. And so these are the characters, and the topic is the Florida Black History Curriculum, and I'm challenging the perspective that's espoused that black people benefited from slavery, and not all slavery was bad.
No one said that, Warren. Nobody said that slavery was not bad. But you hear what he said about Robert Garding? Now, when I first came on Robert Garding's show, I think it was 2018, I was listening to CNN show, and I was listening to him, and I was, you know, giving my points and giving him compliments, and he said, hey, Vince, won't you be a part of my show? I said, oh, okay, cool. I'll be a part of your show. He did not dictate to me anything that I'm supposed to say, anything. Because, see, I have a brain in my head. And I already know how to show somebody their due respect. I'm not just going to get up on your program and just take over. And he talks like, Robert is our master. He's our white slave master, and we come here to do his bidding so he won't have to do it himself. Makes him feel comfortable. As if Robert Garding, who is not a racist, he makes it like Robert Garding is a racist when he is not one. Now, I'm going to continue this. I'm going to go ahead and do the advertisements, and I'm going to continue this on the other side. You are listening to Black Bicolor only on CNM Radio.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Did you know podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service? Thousands of people could be hearing your ad here. To start boosting your business with podcast advertising, go now to conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and send us a copy of the ad you want played, and we will do the rest. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you.
If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM, and see what happens then, where America always wins.
Welcome back to the show. If you would like to be a guest to call in to the show, call in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. Now, when we last left our heroes, anyway, before I left for the advertisements, I was talking about this fruit bat named Warren. He's king of the fruit bats. And the slanderous lies that he said about myself, Sarge, and Pianki, and how people like him is what's wrong with the black race today. And, you know, I'm making comments about a show he did after I did my July 29th show. And he came on, and Sarge could probably witness to this because Sarge was on that program. And how he rudely came on the program and just rudely tried to change the subject. And then he wants to put a link to Robert Garding's show and my show to give his listeners proof of our racism and how we slander the black race and all that crazy mess. So when I heard the program, I sent him an email, and I told him, since you're going to call me out, I will give you space on my show to explain yourself, because I'm the type of person, I believe this. I believe if you're going to slander someone publicly, then you need to explain yourself publicly. And so I sent him an email, and I got a response, not from him, but from his daughter. And it reads as thus: Dear Mr. Brown, I am Brother Warren's daughter. He has been traveling throughout Southern Africa during the entire month of August. He will be attending the BRICS Summit. That's a red flag to me right there. BRICS Summit. BRICS stands for let me get my stuff straight. Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And these nations get together. I think they're supposed to be joined together economically. Just recently, they had a summit. It's the same one that he's at. And they invited some other nations to come in. And I think six nations joined them. But it says he will be attending the BRICS summit that's being held this week in Johannesburg, South Africa. I was with him and have just returned back to the U.S. He asked me to respond to his messages and emails. He says that he will accept an invitation to appear on your show, talking about me. He will return to the States on August 31st. He will come on your show under the following conditions: that he is allowed the entire time to engage in dialogue with you uninterrupted by any third party, that a Q&A is opened up in the last 30 minutes of your show. He also would like your show not to permit any racist stereotypes, lies, and invented history regarding African-descended peoples during his appearance. I've never permitted racist stereotypes on this program, or lies, or invented history. I don't know what he's talking about. It says, and although my father respects your right to not identify with the shared collective history and experiences of black people, he does not respect that. He thinks people like me are black comfort dogs for white conservatives. He requests that you not engage in hateful and mythical talking points about black people. These are his words. I've never engaged in hateful and mythical talking points about black people. Dude's delusional. My father mentioned how well he treated you when you were a guest on his show. I went back to listen to that particular program, and I must admit, you were treated with respect. My father mentioned how often he was muted and kicked off your shows whenever he called in. Please indicate a date and time for him to appear on your show as a guest. Thank you so much. Sincerely, yada, yada, yada. Okay, now, he said he treated me with respect on his show. Yes, he did. But it was his follow-up show where he stabbed me in the back. And I knew that was going to happen. I knew that. I wasn't surprised. I wasn't like, oh, my gosh. I knew he was going to do that. So I don't have any regrets coming on his program. And then he says he mentions how often he's muted and kicked off your show whenever he called in. Did he mention to you why he gets kicked off? He doesn't get kicked off just because he calls in. He gets kicked off because he disrespects me and my guests. Apparently, he doesn't understand my fruit bat alarm. But see, you see what he's doing here? He's trying to manipulate the situation and make it look like, oh, I'm the innocent person. They just attacked me. No, dude, you came on my program. I didn't know anything about New Orleans Wake Up until you came on my program and you started disrespecting my guests, talking about they listened to Fox News, and then you started cussing them out. And you want to sit here and talk about Sarge cussing you out? Hypocrite. And I'm like this. You don't come on my show and dictate to me how I run my show. I can tell you what to expect when you come on mine, but you don't tell me how to run my show. And so I told him, I said, anytime. Just so you know, I've never engaged in hateful or mythical talking points about black people. He also said I slandered him, which I did not. If anyone was slandered, it was me referring to me on one of his programs as a black comfort dog for white conservatives. However, he is welcome anytime, and the only time I would kick him off is when he would come on my program and disrespect me and my guests. Also, I did not appreciate him saying that I may have special needs and that I don't know how to read. Remarks like that are uncalled for, and he wouldn't like anyone to talk to him in that way. But he's welcome to come on my program to explain himself. I have a friend on Facebook. He tells you, Cam up. Cam up. Come on. Mic up. This is what I call a fruit bat. That's a fruit bat. Disrespectful. Use no logic in their conversations. And they try to make it look like they're the ones being attacked, and they're the ones doing the attacking. Now I want to play another clip. I want to play another clip that he said on that very same program. And let me pull this up. I think I already played that one. Let me pull this one. Now listen to this rascal.
To Robert of Conservative Nation Radio, I asked for a debate with you. You came up with an excuse that I changed the subject. I changed subject. That's what you all did.
Yes, he did, because I listened to the show. Sarge can attest to it. He came on there and he rudely tried to change the subject on the show, talking about a subject they weren't even talking about. I was on that program. Let's go on.
On the show that I tried to participate in, that you muted me. And then you claim that the subject was changed, and then you project that on me. You're not capable of confronting me, Robert. The intellect is not there. The honesty is not there. events, I don't even know what to say about you. You need to get somebody to write some words for you to confront me, if you could read. I don't know. I suspect maybe Vince might be special needs. I don't know. And so I don't pick on special needs people. Sarge?
Oh, my goodness. Dude, let me just let you know something. And I shared this on my show several times. In 1974, when I entered the first grade, I was reading on a third grade reading level. Now, on his program that he was talking about me, he said I was intimidated of him because he gave me some books to read and I wouldn't read them. I was intimidated of him. I wasn't intimidated of him. I wasn't intimidated of him at all. I got books. I'm sitting here looking at a bookshelf with at least 200 books on it. And I have a Kindle with about 100 more on there. And no, I don't just read books for confirmation bias. I got books by Ibrahim, what's his name? Ibrahim X. Kendi. And another by D'Angelo. I forgot her last name. The one who wrote the book that said White Fragility. And he said, if Vincent knows how to, someone needs to write some words. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead with your disrespectful self. Go ahead. Let me continue.
Get dishonest. You're not as sharp as you think you are.
Sharper than you are, dude.
And you did a lot of dishonest shit in that conversation trying to justify, in my view, it was a justification of the myth that's in the Florida curriculum about enslavement. You try to use Malcolm X for some reason. God knows why you try to use Malcolm X as some sort of witness to your point in your position. That's laughable.
I don't use Malcolm X as a witness to my position. All I know is that Malcolm had made some good points back in the day, and I'll requote those, but I'm not a Malcolm X fan. Really, I'm not. But let me go on.
You're not capable, equipped to confront me in a debate, an honest debate that is, because your shtick is that you scream and yell, and then when you get put up against the wall intellectually by me, you begin using profanity.
And you don't use profanity? You don't use profanity, Warren? It's real easy to say all this stuff when nobody is listening. But see, I'm inviting you back on my show, so you can explain yourself. But anyway, let me continue.
Pianki, I hope you heard my show idea called Pianki the King versus Pianki the Bitches.
Oh, but he gets mad at people when they use profanity. Oh, I get it. It's okay for him to do it, but it's not okay for anybody else to do it. Now, I'm not a person who likes to use profanity. I don't use it. But if you're going to point out somebody else doing something wrong, you need to look at yourself first. Hypocrite.
Conservative. I hope you don't think you're a Pianki the King. I mean, after all, Pianki the King is dead. But there's only one left that you know you fit into. You're dishonest. Everything that I have heard from your mouth is a lie. And those of the listeners could hear that yourself in one of those episodes. I'm exercising my right of free speech to confront and push back against the anti-black racist propaganda that's coming from at least Conservative Nation Radio. They're not the...
And I'm using my freedom of speech to call you a liar. A down, dirty, bottom-feeding liar. Now, how do you like that?
Only one. There are others. I don't hear the others all the time, but I heard these two. I have interacted with all of these characters, ladies and gentlemen. Robert, I've had Vince as a guest on my show. Sarge would often listen to my show and come in the chat room. Pianki listens to my show in the past and in the present, but then lies about that he's never listened to my show, and I can prove he's listened to my show, and he can go to my previous shows. I can prove that this is how dishonest he is.
Now, I don't know about Pianki going on his show. I don't know what he's saying, whatever accusation. I have nothing to say about that. So, you know, but anyway.
So there's no debate there. He won't debate me because he knows he can't get over the bullshit that he
there
pushes
goes.
And lies about black people.
Still cussing again. Still cussing, but you don't like it when people cuss you out.
He couldn't be on these white people's show.
And see, he gets hung up on this white people thing. He's obsessed with white people. White person derangement syndrome. I call it AWRS, acquired white racist syndrome. He doesn't like the fact that, you know, we're in unity with a white. We're not supposed to be fraternizing with the white folks. That's his mentality. But he gets up here and acts like he's the one being attacked. He's the one doing the attacking.
The white folks need them as the black face to say this crap. You know, Robert talked about a Nigerian guy at his church that he came across who criticizes Black Lives Matter. And only Robert loves that. That makes him feel so good. And he got to search with a flashlight some black face to say what he said, to put them in front of Brother Warren to say the black person said. Well, you tell a Nigerian minister if that's what he is, with all due respect.
Like I said before, I'm like a member of the Justice League. Superman doesn't have any sidekicks or anything, but he has no problem with teaming up to fight for justice. That's the type of person I am. I don't need Robert to tell me what to say or anything like that. Like I said, I've only been on this program since 2018. I've been on this show. I was on this show 9 years before that. Look, every show I do, I basically do it by ear. I have no producers, no consultants, or anyone. But let's keep going. You can explain that to him. You can explain that to him, but he's going to believe what he wants to believe.
Nigerians are our cousins, or the cousins of African Americans. You tell a Nigerian that you tell him about my programs and to listen to learn a little bit more if your characterization of his words are accurate. I'm not going to get into beef with my Nigerian cousin. My beef is with you, Robert. In fact,
your Nigerian cousin, but you and your cousin, y'all have different points of view. I don't consider you to be my cousin. Matter of fact, I've never seen you at my family reunion. So, I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, Sarge, I see you there. Just hang on, man. I'm going to get you.
You are the master here on this radio program.
Now here he comes with this white master jump.
And your servants, Vince, Sarge and Pianki, you allow them to say what they say, which means you endorse what they say, which means I have to confront you, man to, I guess, man, about.
Well, in order to confront somebody man to man, both of you need to be men, and I think there's only one man in that battle, and I'll give you two guesses at who that is, but you only need one.
Anti-black racist stuff that is propagated on your program. Never in my programming do I condemn or categorize all white people as racist at all. All white people are not racist. But those whites who profess conservatism, moderate republicanism,
I don't know, dude. The way I listen to your show, it sounds like you are condemning white folks. all of them. And people like you, y'all have this thing about white privilege and everything. That's condemning all white folks. But let me continue. I keep interrupting.
Institutionalism, whatever that stuff, right-wing, ultra-conservatives, white Christian nationalism, I suspect strongly that if they could be racist, that they might be a racist because they see what racists see. And ladies and gentlemen, this is being a descendant of enslaved African people, knowing what enslaved African people have.
So you say that you know what racists say, but you never listen to yourself talk. Point out everybody else, but you're not aware of the three fingers that are pointing back at you. But anyway, I tell you, folks, this is what you had to deal with as a free-thinking black person who cares about the truth. You come across these people who don't want to hear the truth. You know, on his program when he was talking about me, he played that clip from A Few Good Men. You can't handle the truth. Well, I'm going to direct that at you, Warren. You can't handle the truth. You can't handle anyone who has a different point of view than your own. So you want to talk about people who can't handle the truth? Well, dude, you need to go into your bathroom, cut on your light, and point the finger at that image that's staring back at you through your mirror. That way, all the fingers will be pointing at the very person that should be criticizing anybody. All the fingers will point at the person to blame. All the fingers will point at the person who is racist. But anyway, having said all that, I think it's time to release the Fruitbats. All right, you all know what that is. That's the fruit bat alarm. That means if you're going to come on this program and interact on this program, do away with the character assassinations, excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, gaslighting, things of that sort. Everything that I described, everything that's rolled up into one in that dude named Warren, don't come on this show with that, okay? Come on here, have a decent conversation, be respectful. I don't care if you agree with me or not, But anyway, let me get this first phone call. I think this is Sarge. Uh-oh, why is it taking a while? Taking a while to, I don't know what the deal is. I do not know what the deal is. That's weird. Because I know Sarge is chomping at the bit right now. I'm pretty sure he is. All right, let me try this again.
Outstanding. That was that I heard. I heard
Englishly.
Hey, Brother Vince, it's been too long. Where you been, man? You're supposed to be on the air every weekday so we can vent, so we can let loose with our takes and permutations on the world. And you ain't been there, man. I missed our little taste.
The problem was past couple of weeks, for some reason, Blog Talk Radio was missed. Was acting up or something, and I couldn't get on the program. And even Robert, he said that he did a show one night, but it didn't record to the archives. And even today, when I scheduled the show for 5 o'clock, but it showed up as 7 o'clock. And I'm like, no, I didn't schedule my show for 7 o'clock. So I had to go back and say, okay, I'm going to schedule the show for 3 o'clock so I can have a show at 5 o'clock. And, you know,
oh, man. Well, look here, man. It's obvious what it was, man. It's fruit bat sabotage. It was jamming.
Yeah.
Look here, man.
That's what it was.
Yeah, in that spirit, I would like to announce my new entrepreneurial enterprise. And I'm sure that you will approve and you will advertise this widely. I'm sure I can count on it. I am advertising the Sarge Fruit Bat Extermination Service. And with a specific emphasis on the genus Marxis, the species and subspecies are Phyleticus racialis, otherwise known as colloquially as the Warren variant. The Warren variant.
Yeah.
So now this particular species of flying rodent tends to inhabit academia, the media, and particularly in large numbers on various channels on Blog Talk Radio. But have no fear. I and my colleagues are professionally trained, and we are skilled at eradicating their scourge and their influence upon your affairs. You can count on us to do the best fruit bat extermination job in the business. And with that in mind, I even challenge a particularly virulent variant of that species, one actually named Warren, to a debate. And repeatedly, and the only conditions I put on the debate, Brother Vince, were that we agree upon the moderator. I mean, it might take us a little while to find when we both agree on. We just search around till we both agree on a moderator. We are both given a specific amount of time in which to make our point, and then we'd have to cut it off, and that was it. And when that wasn't enough to call him out, I said, okay, you can bring two of your professor buddies, whatever your academic intellectual you want to bring along, I'll take all three of you on. You can have the same rules apply. I only get 2 minutes. That means you and your buddies will get six. And I'll still do it. And he still, but you know what his reason, this creature's reason for not taking me on in the debate was? That it would be beneath him to belittle himself by coming down to my level and debating such a poor intellectually raucous, vapid, utterly non sequitur type like me. It would just belittle him to take me on in the debate. So I began to realize at that point what an amazing amount of courage he probably had, because he didn't want to expose himself to my particular pesticide that he knew would get rid of. So anyway, this guy talks about, he regularly distorts what you say and what I say and what others have said. He does it all the time. I mean, he'll take a kernel of truth and wrap it around a smorgasbord of lies and distortions. For instance, like what I said about Malcolm X. Now, his side regularly says the problem with the 13th Amendment was it didn't end slavery, because it, quite correctly, does allow slavery for when you have been duly convicted of a crime. It does. Now, they are saying it's slavery. So I'm taking their argument, and I'm saying that when Malcolm X was enslaved in the Department of Correction in Massachusetts, by their definition and the Constitution's definition, he was enslaved in the Massachusetts Department of Corrections. He was enslaved. He'd been convicted of a crime. He was in jail, and he had to do work details. So therefore, he was enslaved. I'm taking their argument. And then I said, while he was enslaved in the Massachusetts Department of Correction, in his autobiography of Malcolm X, he said he learned how to read, absorb knowledge, and do intellectual and critical analysis. In other words, developed a skill while he was enslaved, according to their definition of slavery and the Constitution, by the way, which they regularly decry. So when we say that slaves, antebellum, and in case, you know, and Warren and his academic buddies don't know what that means after hostilities, like after the Civil War, postbellum, antebellum. Okay, after the Civil War, postbellum, slaves took the skills they acquired while they were slaves, such as ironsmithing, blacksmithing, carpentry, et cetera, and they took those skills and they used it to feed themselves and their families and improve their lot in life. That is literally the historical truth. I can show you hundreds of examples of it, but no, he had to distort what I said because he knows it's true. He knows intellectually. Yeah. He knows truthfully. He knows historically. He cannot stand up with me or anyone who understands a scintilla of history, which he has no real possession of. He has a racially tinged version of history that he holds out. It's a racist version of history that is predominantly aimed at a racial meritocracy tinged with Marxism. That's his stick. He knows I'm on to him. That's why he won't debate me, because he knows I'll cut him to ribbons. So therefore, he has to hide his cowardice at facing me intellectually in a ring that we both agreed upon what the rule's going to be. Remember, we have to both come to a mutual agreement that these people are going to moderate and everything are acceptable. And he knows that when he gets in that ring with rules, that he's going to lose. He doesn't want to look stupid like he is. So all I can say is...
What do you think about the email that his daughter sent to me? That he said, he will come on your show for certain conditions. You can't make slanderous accusations against black people.
You
coming over here trying to dictate the rules of my program?
He is trying to hobble you by dictating what you can say in response to him. This is classical modern-day liberals. It's what they do. He is all but censoring you in a debate.
I cannot believe he thinks
anybody can't see through this, or his daughter acting on his behest, that we can't see through what he's trying to do. It's as obvious as, I guess, the nose on his face. I know how obvious mine is. I mean, he's censoring you before you even get in the battle. He's tying both ankles together with shackles. He's putting one hand behind your back, and he's tying that to your belt. He's taking your mouth, and he's putting a muzzle to the only open part way. And he's saying these are fair rules, and I can have a fair shot. I tell you, Vince, that's the kind of rules he's going to have against you to beat, in order to beat you. In order to beat you, that's what he's got to do. I mean,
here's the thing, though, Sarge. That's like if I'm the New England Patriots and I'm going down to Miami to play against the Dolphins, I say, okay, we'll come down there and play you on one condition: all your fans had to be Patriot fans. I mean, Look, you don't come here dictating to me the rules of my program. No, you follow the rules. You come on here, you show respect. And then you're going to sit there and lie and say that I make slanderous comments and I be smearing black people and all that crazy mess. And he doesn't have one clip where I do that. He doesn't play one. He just gives you a link to Robert's show and my show from July the 29th. And he says, y'all go listen to that. You can hear all the racism. Okay, dude, specify what we said that was racist.
Why didn't he play a clip of all the racism? He says that's all we do. He should have had an abundance of clips showing how racist and anti-black we are.
I listened to that show where you were on July the 29th. And he came on there, he said, Robert said I changed the subject. You did, dude. You came on there and you were so rude. They're not even talking about this subject. And he comes on there, well, y'all, what about this? I'm like, dude, they're not talking about that right now. But he wants to say, they said I changed the subject. Yeah, you did.
But wait a minute, Vince. See, you got to understand one thing. You are a Christian man. You are fundamentally a decent person, and your decency shows through in almost everything you say. I mean, for the things that you come on to talk about, you study assiduously. And like me, because I'm always prepared to admit what I don't know about, what I need to study and learn about. And I'll tell you, I don't know anything about that. I got to learn something about it first. You're honest enough to admit that when you don't. He's disingenuous and dishonest. See, he's fundamentally dishonest and disingenuous. So therefore, that's the way he behaves. That's why he behaves the way he does. You're not capable of being that way. You're straight up.
And
he's trying to take
that
advantage of that.
Needs. Yeah, you hear what he said that I might have special needs.
I heard what he said. Yeah, I heard what he said.
He doesn't think that I can read. I said, dude, when I was in first grade, I was reading on a third grade reading level, you know. And he's trying to make it like, you know, well, this is what I think. Oh, nah, dude, you're trying to disguise your insults. But anyway, wait, let me hold you right there. I think Pianchi is coming on, and I think he's chomping at the bit too.
Oh, but one more thing I'd like to say for now, let me give an example of somebody who you and I both have differed with in the past, but who is not at all like Warren. Now, Chewbacca, you know Brother Chewbacca, he invited me on his guest show, yesterday. He let me on that show for an hour and a half. I was on the show for an hour and a half. We didn't agree about nothing hardly, but it was an open and honest debate. He let me have my say completely. He had his say completely. The people who were listening called in and said they were energized and energized by our back and forth. They enjoyed it. They didn't have nothing to say. Oh, I ain't got nothing to say. I'm liking it. I'm sitting back and listening some more. And they listened back. Well, me and him had it at each other back. Well, we didn't get personal. We didn't get nasty. We stayed with the issues. And it was a great thing. And I don't agree with Brock about nothing. See, that is the difference between somebody like Chewbacca and somebody like Warren. He genuinely wanted to engage with me, and we did. I thought, I have no complaints about what I treated on the show, and we don't agree about a thing. We had a back and forth of views, which is what it's supposed to be. Warren is not capable of that. He is a Marxist. When you are a Marxist at your heart, you have to control a debate. You have to censor. You have to distort. You have to bully and have to try to intimidate. And that's what he does all the time. He does it all the time. And he knows no other way because he knows his belief system cannot hold up to scrutiny. It cannot. That's why it cannot be allowed and honest. That's why he's scared of me because he knows I know it.
Exactly. So what do you have to say, Pianchi?
Hey, Vincent. I don't know why y'all, but you know, Marx is like that one mulatto lady, Angela Davis. But look, I'm on the road, and I put some new tires on my vehicle, and they wider than what the originals were, and they make a lot of more noise, so I can't stay on it too long. But you know, Sarge, I don't even know why y'all waste your time. You got that kind of time to waste with these idiots?
Well, the thing about it, I was basically through with the dude, and I just happened to come for some reason his channel is saved in my search engine, and when I typed in Blog Talk Radio, I probably fat fingered the link to his program, and I saw the title of his program that, you know, black slaves really, they didn't benefit and everything and stuff like that. I said, let me listen to this rascal. And he was calling me out. He was calling me out. He was calling you out. He was calling Sarge out. He called us the Three Stooges. And I said, and I have this philosophy. If you call me out publicly, explain yourself publicly. You know, that's the only reason why. You know, I'm, you know, quote unquote, wasting time with them, you know, because I said, dude, you know, you sitting here talking. And but see, here's the thing. He does it when we're not around. See. Follow up with another show. But I said, and I'm like, OK, dude, that's why the last time he tried to call in here, I wouldn't let him on because I was like, you know what? I know what you about, dude. I already knew what you were about, you know. But when he called me out like that and said that I got special needs, it's not about me being thin-skinned or anything like that. I just said, you know, okay, you want to call me out publicly, then let's deal with this publicly. Don't be going behind people's backs and everything and doing this, stabbing people in the back and everything. Go ahead.
You say you ran across this show.
Yeah, it was in my search engine.
Is that the one with Louis Armstrong copyright?
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
Is that the copyright image?
That's him.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Using a copyrighted image. My goodness. Hey, look, I'm going in and out. I'm going to continue to listen. I'll jump in if I need to.
Yeah, you come on back, Brianna, because I know you got a lot to say, damn it. So, you know, you find a spot where you don't be noisy and get back on the show. But look here, man.
Yeah.
Let me say something else about Warren. Now, Warren loves to say things like we're being, we're trying to be condescending with racist points of view. I don't know how he could think I could be praising Ku Klux Klan with a bunch of damn Democrats. Who do I talk about more than Democrats hardly around here other than Marxists? Democrats? Are you kidding? KKK are all Democrats. I don't have much good to say about them other than just to tell the truth about them, which is bad enough. I ain't got to distort it none. But what Warren exemplifies in his commentary, particularly he talks about slavery. Now, we talk about, he loves to condemn American chattel-style slavery and talk about it was a uniquely, particularly evil and pernicious type of slavery. At the same time, people of principle will say all slavery, no matter what guise it's in, no matter what end of the spectrum it's in, on from being paternalistic and relatively benign to being outright Simon Legree evil, in between or anywhere in between, all slavery is a basic evil, no matter how well it's administered or whatever. It's all evil as a matter of principle. But Warren can't do that. See, Warren, he has to say that African slavery was a particularly nice kind of slavery because African tribes would take slaves in and they would let them join their family. See, he said
these
various individual tribes that would have this kind of slavery where a slave could kind of assume certain methods. See, that's why it's so much better than American slavery. So he does the same kind of moral relativism that he accuses us of doing.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? All slavery was not evil because, for instance, in the kingdom of Mono Mapapa, that was a five different classification of what you call slave. One was pawn, a P-A-W-N, like when you pawn a member of your family out to work off a debt that you owe. You had agriculture slaves. You had servants. You had those that tended to the need of the quote-unquote king or the chief. So in some kingdoms, and then, too, you know, in 1808, when Britain tried to stop indigenous slavery in the country called now Ghana, hell, the people didn't want it to end themselves.
That's right.
Worked from 1808 to 1928, expending time, energy, and money trying to stop indigenous slavery. Go ahead.
And not only that, they sent delegations from Mali and Dahomey, sent delegations to the court of Queen Victoria to complain about the British interdiction of the slave trade on the west coast of Africa. They were mad about it. They were breaking their rice bowl. They were mad about it. They were saying, look, you're interfering with our money-making enterprise.
That's right.
It's just amazing to me. But see, Warren is unable. See, he's the very moral relativist that he accuses us of being, but it's in purpose of his particular ideology. So according to him, that makes it okay. And, you know, and he loves to do his little dime store psychiatric analysis. I don't know this guy. I don't know anything about him other than what I hear him say. And that is all I ever respond to because I don't know him. I'm not like him.
I don't make
things up about him that I have no way of knowing. He has no way of knowing what my military service is. I never showed him my DD-214. How can he know what it is? Plus, he knows who I am. If he knows who I am, that means he's lying. Because I've got a DD-14 that backs up everything I say. So the guy is dishonest. He's disingenuous in everything he does and says. He's a typical Marxist propaganda. He'll be perfectly at home in the Soviet Union or Red China. That's why he went to China, by the way, because that's his kind of people.
News alert. You know he's attending the BRICS conference in South Africa right now, do you?
Surprise, surprise.
BRICS. Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. He's attending. He's been down there, I think, this entire month. His daughter told me that he's attending the BRICS conference.
Surprise, surprise.
Said, oh,
what do you
boy.
Know? What do you know? What do you know? You know, one thing about leftists, man, like, they really do like to pull that psychiatric game. And if you oppose the old Soviet regime, you had nuts and they put in a nut out. That was one of the – that was why they – see, they said, well, we're a kinder, gentler Soviet Union. In the past, the NKVD would just take it down to the basement of Lubyanka and put a bullet in the back of your neck. Well, the newer, kinder, gentler Soviet Union, what they did was say dissidents like Alexander Solzhenitsyn were crazy. Because only a crazy person would oppose the Soviet regime and the wonderful workers' paradise. So they had to put him in the nut house because he had to be crazy. And you listen to people like Warren, they do the same thing. Why? Because they're Marxists. I got to keep emphasizing this. A lot of people think you overstress it when you accuse them of being a Marxist, when they use all the classical tropes, techniques, tactics, and practices of Marxists. Well, the reason I do it is because they do. Warren typifies it in every respect. He typifies their tactics and their techniques, every single regard.
Yeah. So, and he went on to say that Pianki has been on his show several times and that he said that he's, and I told him, I told myself, I said, look, that's between you and Pianki. I ain't got nothing to do with that. You know,
I ain't never been on his show. Never. And you know, you say that his daughter responded. If Warren Carter is 60 some odd years old, about 66, that would make his daughter at least 50. You think she's got time to be answering emails? Huh? Thank you.
He has to have an intermediary, you know. He has to have an intermediary. That's why he has to do. You're not actually fit to deal with him directly any more than I'm fit to debate him. Remember, he won't debate me because that would be beneath him to debate me. He'd be lowering his station to deal with a ruffian like me. So I'm out of the picture. And, you know, and by the way, I deal on the battlefield I find myself on. When people behave civilly, they don't have to like me. They can dislike me. I can dislike people and be civil and courteous. I can do that even when I dislike somebody. So I deal with the battlefield I'm on. If people are respectful, courteous, and civil, I am the same way every time. If people are doing brass knuckles and bayonets and trenching tools and rifle butts, then that's what I'm doing too. I deal with the field I'm on. And Warren, if you'd be honest, he did that exact same to me, and yes, that did cause me to break bad on his ass, but I did it only because he did it first. Like I said, I fight on the field I'm on. I'm not interested in fighting fair when you ain't fighting fair.
That's right, and I distinctly said that he came on my show. I'd never heard of New Orleans Wake Up before last year, and he comes on my show. He starts insulting you guys, you know, saying that y'all, you know, get your news from Fox News and all that and everything. And when someone throws the exact amount of heat that he throws, all of a sudden he's being attacked. Oh, they're doing this. I'm an innocent person. Oh, you know, this and everything. And oh, you keep kicking me off of your show. I said, I kick you off because you're disrespectful. That's why. And you come on there and you act disrespectful, I'm going to do the same thing.
And Vince, you know the thing he said, the single thing he did that he's irritating, there's no doubt about it. But there was only one time he actually got me genuinely enraged. When he told me that the reason I could not have been a Vietnam veteran is because I did not favor fragging my officers and committing mutiny. He said that was the reason I could not be a real black Vietnam veteran, because any black Vietnam veteran wanted to frag his officers and disobey lawful legal orders. And that pissed me off to no end when he said that. And I'm thinking of my black comrades in arms in my company who got killed following their orders and doing their duty from their officers.
Yep.
And I did get enraged at him when he did that. And I told him, I said, okay, man. Let me tell you what I hope somebody does. I hope somebody takes an M67 grenade, shoves it up your rectum, and pulls the pin. That's what I'm hoping for you. That's what I want for fragging on your vine. And I did say that. And then he said that was a threat against him that needed to be investigated by the FBI or somebody.
Oh my goodness, this dude,
hey,
this dude is down.
I'm not making it up. I swear to God, I'm not making it up. I did say that to him because I was, I was not enraged for what he said about me because I know he's a liar about me. That doesn't bother me that much. What he said about my comrades who died, what he said about my comrades who died, that they were mutineers who wanted to murder their officer. That was the typical.
What
I know there were black soldiers who did that, but that wasn't the typical black soldier in Vietnam.
What was the black general's name? Kip. What was his last name? Kip something.
Black general and
Kip.
Where? When?
Kip Washington or like that. He came to Vietnam.
Well, the one I'm thinking about is Colonel Paris Davis recently just got awarded the Medal of Honor for something he should have gotten 50 years ago. That's another black Vietnam veteran. I guess he's not Warren's idea of a black Vietnam veteran because, I mean, after all, he led a heroic defense of a fire base and saved the day when the North Vietnamese were overrunning and they outnumbered his garrison 12-1. And an unbelievable
story
of heroism.
I got a friend of mine, Daryl Lee. He was a special force. I think he was a Green Beret. He didn't try to, what do they call it, frag his commander?
Frag his officer. Now, there were white troops that did that, too, but they weren't the majority of troops in Vietnam by any means. They were a tiny fraction of the troops who served in Vietnam, whether they were black or white. But the Warren, they're the heroes. See, the Warren, those kind of subversives are heroes.
Wow. I mean, and like I said, I've dealt with people like Warren for decades. You know, I'm not new to this fight because, you know, I've had this mentality since the 80s when I was a teenager. And, you know, and I come across people and when folks like Warren shows how disingenuous they are, it does kind of frustrate you a bit, but you know, you got to reel that in and, you know, just deal with the situation at hand. But when he called me out like he did on, you know, on his program, you know, and he had his daughter, you know, do his emails and all that crazy mess and whatever, I'm like, you know, dude, you can come on here anytime you want to, but once you show that disrespect, that's when I'm going to kick you off. You know, don't come here, you know, with your self-righteous attitude and you want to get up here and describe what a conservative is. You don't even know what a conservative is. Heck, you don't even know that you're a communist yourself. And you coming up here trying to tell somebody who they are? Dude, you need to take a long, hard look at yourself in your bathroom mirror, dude, if he has a bathroom, because I don't know all the crap he be talking.
You know, you got a lot of them black, those mulatto slaveholders' families still existing around the door. Like, Nagin, Mayor Nagin, he's one of them that's mentioned. So anyway, I'm going to continue to listen. I ain't got time to participate and waste my breath on such subject matter. I'll talk to you guys.
But I'm saying, right, man. Yeah, but look, I tell you what. I'm going to put this out there one more time just for form's sake. Anytime one feels that he can lower himself to debate a reactionary, internalized white supremacist reactionary plebe like me, I extend the invitation. I don't have a million conditions, just one, three. One, we agree upon a moderator. Two, we are time limited in our responses. And number three, we stick to the subject matter. That's it. He can bring as many age lifelines as he wants in the debate. I'll take on every one of them and him by myself. Oh, and we agree on the subject matter to be debated. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the only conditions I have. How many conditions did he put on you, Vince? How many conditions did he have in that letter that his quote daughter unquote sent to you? How many conditions?
Yeah.
Can he count them?
It was three of them. It was three of them. He said I had to allow the entire time to engage in dialogue with me uninterrupted by any third party. See, he's trying to give himself an advantage here. As he said, that Q&A is open in the last 30 minutes of your show, And he will also like your show not to permit any racist stereotypes, lies, and invented history regarding African-descended peoples during his appearance. You know, and I said, dude, you're not coming. Look, I play with the Miami Dolphins. You play for the New England Patriots. Now, you come down here, you're going to have to expect that, you know, the fan base is not going to be for you. Okay, so you don't come here telling me how to what rules I need to put on my show. This is my show. You don't control me. You know, and I'm like, and people might think I'm wasting my time with him and everything. That's okay. But anytime he wants to come on here, I'll let him on. But once he disrespects me, boom, you're off, dude. You're off.
But
you know,
I'll
keep you
off
a billion times.
But one thing about Warren, it's not that he's that important by himself. He's typical of leftists. He's typical of our opposition.
Yeah.
His belief system is exemplified in the legal theories of Bonnie Willis. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, when you
exactly.
understand
yeah.
people like Warren, and you have a direct interaction with people like Warren, you understand what motivates people like Bonnie Willis. The spawn of Black Panthers.
I mean, for real. I mean,
these people are—I swear—they are—they are like literally cut out of cookie cutters when it comes to the way they're motivated, their ideological beliefs, and the way they express them.
Yeah, and for him to call out Robert Garding like he did, that was just totally uncalled for. You know, saying he can't debate with him. I'm pretty sure Robert Garding can hand him his lunch, but Robert Garding is not he's not as confrontational as someone like me or you are. And like I said, I listened to that program that he said he was on, and that Robert was chuckling at him and everything. I'm like, dude, you're going to get upset because Robert was chuckling at you. And I don't even know which part he was talking about, because Robert, he chuckles a lot through his program. And I'm like, well, what was he chuckling about? What was it that offended you about him chuckling? I mean, I don't get it, you know.
But he said that
Robert he can't argue with him, but then you invite him to a debate and he doesn't want to come. You know, I mean, this dude is just off his rocker.
Well, Vince, look, I'm going to tell you something, man. Now, you're going to see me when I'm in a moderated setting, and I know what the rules are. I know the setting is moderated. I mean, like, it's, you know, like, hey, I know what the rules are. I know what I'm saying. And like I said, if I'm going to get this guy, bring on two of his buddies, that means they're going to have an intake with 2 minutes of response time each. That means they're going to get 6 minutes to every 2 minutes of mine. Yeah, I mean, you ought to be able to make me feel, I mean, if you got any kind of a ability to hold an argument.
I mean, really.
You're gonna have two lifelines with you in a debate against me. I mean, it's gonna be six of y'all. You're 6 minutes, 2 minutes of mine for every question and response. You feel? He's just too good to deal with a ruffian, plebe, reactionary like me. He's better than that. He's a gutless poltroon. He's got no guts. He knows I'll whip him up one side, down the other. That's why he won't show up. And that's why he comes up here trying to marginalize me by saying I'm loud, raucous, and boisterous. Well, yes, I am. And I'll still kick your ass in election.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, hey, that's just how Sarge is. I mean, you think he's just going to alter his personality just to please you? You know, dude.
But I'll stick to the rules in the debate. If there are rules in the debate, I will stick to the rules in the debate. I can assure you that. I've been in many of them on radio, on WLS Radio AM 890 in Chicago, 50,000-watt flamethrower in the Midwest. I used to debate Democrat policymakers. I would date Democrats who were like, campaign advisors and managers and all that. And we'd have debate. And I stick to the rules. And I always prevail, always. I got some tapes of them. You listen to them. I'm worried about Warren. Warren's worried about me. He's not. Look, he knows. That's why he said, "You're a cracky man. Sorry, not as smart as he thinks." Because he knows I'm smart. He knows it.
Yeah.
I'm just not as smart as I think I am. But that's actually a veiled compliment to me that he probably didn't mean to let slip.
Yeah. And that's why he would say things like, he doesn't even think I can read because I don't read what he thinks I should be reading. Dude, you're not the master of me. You know, you don't come here and dictate to me because, look, I march to the beat of my own drummer. I might not be as savvy and as eloquent as some other people are and everything, but you don't come up in my face and tell me what I need to be doing, dude.
But Vince,
need to go somewhere and get your applesauce.
That's the ultimate reputation of you ought to read what he's reading. Because I do.
Yeah.
In fact, one of his main philosophers is a woman named Frances Gress Welsey. And her seminal work, the work that put her on the Marxist racialist intellectual map, was a book called The Isis Paper, The Keys of the Colors. Now, and as he derided my library of about 2,800 books, one of the books in my library, about 2,800 books, is a book called The Isis Papers, The Keys of the Colors, Frances Gress Welsey, CWP91, Library of Congress Catalog Card Number 90-71890, distributed by African World Books, P.O. Box 16447, Baltimore, Maryland, 21217. Now, I'm holding it right here in my hand. The book.
Yeah.
One of the books. That from one of his self-professed favorite intellects and philosophers. I heard him say it. He cited her on the show as contributing mightily to an understanding of worldwide white supremacy and racism. He cited her as an intellectual guiding light of him. And so I was taking exception to her and some of the things she said. So I opened the book up right there. I got the page 96 of my book, and I started reading from page 96 of my book and what she wrote. You know what he said to me? She didn't write it.
Dude, you can't win with this dude. You just can't win with
him. I swear to God. He said, she didn't write that. I said, wait a minute, man. I got, what he said? This is a defective edition of the book I got? I said, listen, here's the page. Hear him rustling? Hear the pages rustling? This is the book. I'm holding it right in my hand. Then I went to another page. I read right from the book, Intellectual Lodestone, His Guiding Light. I read from the book, and he still tried to deny it. These people are fundamentally dishonest as it is possible to be in modern discourse. Trust me on this. There is no truth in them. Now, I'm not even talking about somebody like Chewbacca, who I think is misguided, but I think he means well. He thinks he honestly believes what he believes. That ain't like Warren. Warren is a commissar to his heart.
I mean, really. I mean, for real. Hey, Sarge, we're in archives now. Before I leave, I want to make an announcement. You remember the dude Iredale that used to come on this show?
Who?
Iredale.
Who?
That used to come on the program.
Yeah, it's been a while since he's been on, man. Long time.
Yeah, well, he passed away about two weeks
ago.
Oh
man. That's too bad.
And I attended his funeral. It was online because he lives in Florida. And I attended his funeral today, so you won't be hearing from Iredale anymore.
I'm sorry to hear that. I wish I could express my condolences to his family. Because, he always had something to say. He was a fan of the show.
Yeah. And he will be missed. I had talked to him this year, and he was starting to get chemotherapy for pancreatic cancer.
I'm not sure that's
what killed him. But I saw pictures of him just recently, and he looked, oh, man, he did not look good. But he said he felt good. You know, he said the chemotherapy didn't bother him or anything. But, you know, all of a sudden I noticed he hadn't been calling, and I said, his daughter contacted me through Facebook, and I said, is everything all right? Because I hadn't heard from Iredale in a while. She said he passed away a few days ago. And I said, oh, man, you got to be kidding me. You know, I had to say in all the friends that I've met, if he was in the top 10, he'd probably be in the top 5 friends I ever had, you know. And to hear that. You know,
what did he do for a living? Was he retired or what?
He used to drive trucks. He used to be a truck driver. But for some reason, he quit that job. And he was back to doing something. I don't know what it was. But before I could even find out, you know, I found out he had passed away, and I said, "Oh man, come on, man," you know. Mm-hmm. And I just want to let you know that, just in case you're like, "Hey, where's Iredale?" You know,
it's been a while, man. A lot of folks have been. Yeah, that's too bad. Well, like I said, you know, if I could express my condolences to his family, I would. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I guess you have to inform me.
Well, you know, I guess I express it for you. I even sometimes when you go to the funeral home, you go to their website and you can plant a tree in someone's honor. I did that for them, so you know.
Could you put that on your website, on the chat?
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, okay.
I can do that.
I can better make a comment, at least some for the family, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
So that. Yeah, just want to let you all know that. So, but anyway, next week I won't be having a show because it's the first of the month. Shoot, I had 2 weeks off and everything, but you know, next week is first of the month. Me and my wife, we got to get some things done next week. But in another 2 weeks, I should have another edition of Black by Color Only. So you all stay safe out there. Take care of yourselves. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on...